Blog Talk Radio.
Network. I'm your host, Derek Felix, and it is Derek Felix, Hard Hits Network here, a live overnight hour show here in Staten Island, New York City. How is everybody doing out there? It is, believe it or not, the end of March. We're actually in April now, believe it or not. So happy Easter Sunday to anybody who celebrates, and of course, happy Passover to any of my Jewish friends, including myself. So hope everybody is having a good weekend and had a great Easter for anybody that celebrates Easter Sunday. And for anybody who's Jewish like myself and my family, happy Passover, happy Pesach. Hope you're all doing very well out there. It is a overnight edition here for an hour live. Hard Hits, Derek Felix. The phone number is 424-675-8226. We may or may not be getting people calling in. I don't know. It really depends because I kind of did the spur of the moment. But I did want to do a show, an overnight show. A lot of stuff going on, actually. The start of the baseball season, so the weekend, Major League Baseball opening weekend, so that was pretty interesting. Also, I'm going to get to some other stuff. The Final Four, it's down to two, will be Michigan Wolverines challenging the Villanova Wildcats in what should be a very interesting championship game later tonight, or I should say Monday night if you're following from the Upper Coast. So what time does that start? Like 9 o'clock or whatever it tips off. But that will be the championship game. So they'll don't try to make it two titles in 3 years under Jay Wright. Or could it be the Wolverines who made the championship game a few years ago with ironically Tim Hardaway Jr. and Trey Burke? Can they actually win? They certainly have had a great run. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll also do a little bit on the NHL, National Hockey League regular season is finally finishing up. If you're a Ranger fan like myself, you probably don't care at this point, although it's nice to see at least some of the young players, some of the draft picks that we got, Lapito and Leo Sanderson looking pretty good so far for a bunch of teenagers. Both have scored their first career goals, so congratulations to them. But if you're a Devils fan, you got a lot to be excited about. I mean, this team's playing great hockey right now. They're finishing strong. They're 5-0-1 in their last six. And they are this close to finally getting back to the playoffs for the first time since 2012. Taylor Hart-Hall continues his just assault. Scores a game-winning shorthanded goal. He's been on a tear again. He's just been unbelievable. He's just been so clutch all year. Him and Hishay have become a dynamic duo. So there's a lot to be excited about there. If you're Delta, their magic number is down to four. So any combination of losses by the Panthers in regulation. If the Panthers lose in regulation tomorrow, that would mean Tuesday. They would actually be in the playoffs for the first time since 2012. So that's how it works there. And, of course, the Hart race heating up with Taylor Hall continuing to push for it, along with Nathan McKinnon for Colorado. They had a bad loss tonight, blew a two-goal lead, lose 4-3 to the Ducks, team they're competing with for the final wild card. It's wild right there in the West. And Anthony Kopitar is quietly become an MVP candidate. Question is, will he actually be recognized, or is it going to be the National, you know, Writers Association? I think it's just going to go for the guys that are on the best teams, like Nikita Kucherov, like Evgeny Malkin, Connor McDavid, who I don't think even belong in the discussion because the Oilers are so bad. So I wouldn't even put him in the discussion. I don't care if he wins the scoring title. All right, so there's that. All right, so I want to start with the baseball. It is Hard Hits. This is Derek Felix, Derek Bucks Felix here live in color. And, of course, it's going to be April 1st or April Fool's without a little snow for New York and the New Jersey area. Yes, we're going to get snow on April 2nd. So maybe March is still going. I don't know. Maybe it really is. You know, I call it March Sabbath. Maybe it really is still going because, you know, we're getting a nor'easter again. And it's April 2nd, and the Yankees are going to have their home opener later today. I don't know what that's going to look like, but there is snow in the forecast. There is freezing rain in the forecast. There is sleet in the forecast. So, and it's supposed to wrap up, right around maybe 12:30. So it's perfect timing. I mean, for them to open up their first game at home. I mean, against the Rays after I think it was disappointing because it is disappointing when you win the first two games the way they did with the unbelievable start by Giancarlo Stanton, the two home runs that he smashed. I mean, his first pitch, he hit a home run. I mean, that was an unbelievable start for Giancarlo Stanton to his Yankee career. They follow it up, the starting pitching, I mean, just terrific with Seve Reno, or Seve as I like to call him, Luis Severino, and Tanaka, terrific as well. And it looked like it was going to be for the New York Yankees. You know, they win the first two games. The Blue Jays aren't that good, to be honest. But Blue Jays were able to win the last two games. They take advantage of Dellin Betances. Not really sure what Arabu was thinking there, giving Betances two innings of work, basically, and having him throw 40 pitches. But he did give up the home run, and he's given up two home runs already, and he's starting off where he left off last year, which is just great. I mean, I don't know what's happened to him. Part of it is that he can't locate his pitches anymore. So, I mean, the location has definitely dropped off. Cabana is not there. But, he gives up the home run to Solarte, a former Yankee that was traded for Headley. And Garvis Solarte is now a Blue Jay. And then he implodes and loads bases or whatever he did there and allows five stolen bases, including Kevin Pillar, who's a really underrated player for the Blue Jays, to steal home. He stole home, folks. He stole three bases in the inning. Second, third, and home. That's almost impossible. They followed up. They had a big lead on Sunday, yesterday. And, you know, you figure you hand it over to the bullpen. It should be fine. Until Justin Smoke literally smokes. He smoked the Yankee bullpen there. Smoked Tommy Cayley with a two-run job. And then with the Blue Jays trailing 6-3 in the eighth inning, an inning later, Aaron Boone makes his first really bad decision, a very questionable move. And this is why I do not like managing by the book. Justin Smoke had just hit a home run the inning before. The Jays have two runners on. So the tying run at the plate is Josh Donaldson. Josh Donaldson's had a banged-up shoulder. He's been having problems throwing the ball. He's not hitting the ball at all. His numbers against Robinson were good. If you load the bases, well, that puts the winning run at the plate, and Justin Smoke just hit a home run. So what happens? Smoke works the count, gets it full, nine pitches, and then Smoke's a fastball after Robinson wouldn't go back to the curve, and Smoke's fastball opposite field, a grand salami, and the Blue Jays win the game. And they split the four-game series. So very questionable by Aaron Boone. And sometimes you gotta go by instinct. Forget about the numbers by the book. Forget about all these stupid stats. The guy just hit a home run in the last inning. He's swinging the bat a lot better. I mean, if you've been following the series, I mean, it would make more sense to pitch to Donaldson there. righty versus righty. I'll go against what the stats say, and I'll just have Rollinson pitch to Donaldson there and see if he can get it done. Instead, they come back and they lose. So they're 2-2, and they will open up in the snow or the rain, or I don't know how if the game will be delayed, but they will start their home opener against Tampa Bay. So that's later today. 424-675-8226. Derek Felix with you at 12:40 in the morning. Other baseball stuff going on. A lot of baseball, obviously. Let's just get some other stuff. The New York Mets. They had a good start to the year season. They took 2 out of 3 from the Cardiac Cards. The Cards were my second wild card pick. So the Mets did a nice job. And when you look at the Mets, it comes down to a couple things. Those pitchers, and I'm obviously talking about Syndergaard, I'm talking about DeGrom, and maybe I'm talking about Matt Harvey, if he can follow up to spring and pitch well. We'll see how he does later today when he finally takes the mound. But Syndergaard and DeGrom are the top two starters in the Mets staff, and they are terrific pitchers. And Syndergaard struck out 10 in his first outing, or 11, and he looked terrific. DeGrom followed up and pitched a very good game. Although Syndergaard did give up a couple home runs, but both these guys are terrific pitchers. They should be in the mix for the Cy Young if they're healthy, as long as they stay on the mound. Syndergaard, he could be that guy. He easily outpitched Carlos Martinez, who did not have it in my pick. And the Mets, when it comes down to if their starters pitch the way they can pitch, especially that top two and maybe Matt Harvey, because I don't trust Steven Matz, and I don't know what's going to happen with the fifth starter right now, because they have the veteran on the DL. But when you talk about those two guys, you know, they can win a lot. They can win a lot of games, and they can help the Mets. They can carry the Mets. The lineup, it's improved. Hey, the top follower, Todd Frazier, had a big hit, had a big two-run double for his first big RBIs of the season. Cespedes was able to hit a home run and also had a single, so he did okay to start the season. Rosario, who batted a little bit, has batted ninth in the first game. Interesting, and it worked out pretty well. So bat the pitcher eighth and bat the young shortstop ninth. So you could maybe set up something else. That's worked out pretty well. Even Adrian Gonzalez has gotten it on base so far. So some good signs for the Mets early. The offense should be a little better, especially when you have Bruce back after he went to the Indians and came back and signed. Cespedes, as long as he stays healthy, Frazier can help the Mets, even though he won't hit for much of an average, because he's a good situational guy. We saw it with the Yankees. The catcher spot, it's a rotation right now. You have to like what the way they started the season. So they started off winning 2 out of 3 against a team that's expected to be in the mix, team that they should be competing against. If they pitch well, they can compete for that wild card. I would say second wild card, because I think the Diamondbacks are, the Rockies, I think the Diamondbacks are that, and I think the Dodgers are the best in the NLS. So, and I think those are both teams that can win, you know. Well, obviously the Dodgers are going to win 90+. Although they didn't show it against the Giants in the first two games. They got shut out in the first two games, 1-0. Cardinal copies, Joe Panic with a couple of home runs, a solo job against Kershaw. Very similar to Daniel Murphy. He put a really good swing on a pitch in the sixth inning. And a solo job off Kelly Jansen, whose velocity was down. Velocity is down. I mean, he's only hitting 91 or 92 in the gun. So you wonder about that. You know, Jansen's the best closer in the game, but that might be a little early concern. So there you have it right there. But the Dodgers did come back. They did take the final two games against the Giants. I think it was a good job out of the Giants to actually get two games especially with Bumgarner. They got a couple of real good performances, so the lineup's gonna have to hit though. I mean, they can't keep stranding base runners. So I mean, Andrew McCutchen didn't really do much, left a lot of runners on base. Evan Longoria didn't really hit either. They really score a lot of runs. I mean, they won a couple of games the way the Giants win games. Mark Melton's on the DL already. Well, that was a great signing. What's going on there? I don't know. But they did find a way to split and get to the Cubs. Kind of an interesting start for them, too. I mean, you would have expected them to at least win 3 out of 4 from the Derek Jeter Marlins. I mean, they're not good at all. I mean, can anybody name, you know, like 5 Marlins? I could name 2 or 3. Let's see. I could name 3. I could name Starlin Castro, who plays second base for them. I could name Justin Bour, who is the first baseman, and JT Realmuto, who is the catcher, but I think he's on the DL. So I've named 3. There's not a lot of Marlins. There's not a lot of guys on that team that I know, because they basically traded everybody. So a little bit surprising that, you know, that the Cubs lost 2 games, but that's opening weekends. So sometimes things that you don't expect to happen. They lost a game in 17 innings, for crying out loud, to the Marlins on a walk-off. And there was a Marlins reliever who won 6 innings, actually, and pitched really well. 6 innings in the extras and struck out a lot of guys. Look, I don't know about the Marlins. You know, I'm expecting the Marlins to be really bad and lose 100 games. But they were able to win 2 games against the Cubs, so that's got to be a solid start for them, for their losses. Kyle Schwarber, we're expecting a breakout year with him losing the weight. And so far, he looks pretty good, man. That home run that he hit into the upper deck, it's still traveling. It hasn't landed yet. So some surprising stuff so far, but I guess it's to be expected. The guys just kind of straightened out. They got 9 runs. They got the 2-4, the 6-4, the 8th to win. Other highlights of baseball, let's see. The Pirates sweeping the Tigers. They swept the doubleheader after a rainout. And the Pirates off to the surprising 3-0 start, but they did face the Tigers, and the Tigers suck. They're terrible. So that's a very good start for them. Rivero actually is probably one of the better young closers that nobody knows about. And the Tigers are just horrible. They're a horror show. Trout and the Angels, after losing the first game to the A's, they came back and they won the next couple, and Trout hit his first home run. The Red Sox, after losing the first game in just awful fashion with Cora not going to his closer for a 4-out save, and Joe Kelly, who just can't find, never could locate anything, couldn't find the plate, although he did save the game today. Red Sox come back, though. And they should have won all 4, but they won 3. They won the next 3 against the Tampa Rays, who are going to be horrible. Also, they're horrifying. The Cardinals did get the 3rd game against Steven Matz, who still is a guy I wouldn't trust. A guy to keep an eye on is Paul, guy that came through last year. If I had stayed in my franchise dynasty, whatever you want to call it, baseball league, I would have kept him because he had a great finish to the year as a rookie. He's the starting shortstop for the Cardinals, the Cardiac Cards. Hit 2 home runs, 2 jacks against Mats. Keep an eye on him, especially in that order. Adding Osuna to that lineup, that should do wonders for him. And I expect some really good things out of him. So these are a couple of things just to look at. So the Cards win that game 5-1. The Astros, they're out and running. They're off and running. They take 3 of 4 from the Rangers. Texas is going to be very bad. Cole in his first start pitched extremely well. Garrett Cole had a really good outing, and Correa is off to the good starts. Got a home run. He's not getting runs. He's my MVP pick. If he stays on the field, I think he could do it. But you know, they've got a lot of guys who can hit. Obviously, Altuve, Bregman, Springer, who did it again, hit a leadoff home run on opening day for the second straight year. And how many home runs does he have in that leadoff spot? 19, 20? And he just hit his 100th career home run. JD Davis is another guy to look at as well. They're just a loaded team. They're a loaded, obviously. You know, you got Furlander, you got Keiko, they added Garrett Cole. They're going to be very tough to beat. And they went 3-4 against the Texas Rangers, who are not that good. Not good. Gallo did finally hit a home run his first, but they're going to struggle. It's going to be a struggle for them. The Angels did win 3 out of 4 to the A's after losing early one in extras. There were a few extra inning games, actually. Ohtani pitched well, though, in this game. His first start, Ohtani, of course, is the Japanese star who also can hit. And DH, 6 innings, 3 runs, a home run allowed, 6 strikeouts, 1 walk. Solid outing for him, his first win. And Middleton came out of the bullpen for the save. I don't even know who closes for them. I still think it probably be Pedroza, but he's right now pitching setup. So the Angels off and running. Trout hitting the ball well so far, often. Simmons, they got some good balance. They got some nice balance there. Matt Chapman hit his first home run for the A's. The A's will hit home runs, though. They will with Chris Davis. They'll definitely hit home runs, as well as Matt Chapman and the big first baseman that they have. They're going to hit their home runs. They will hit the long ball. So a lot of stuff going on with the baseball. The Indians lose 2 of 3 to the Mariners. So the Mariners actually take 2 out of 3. From Cleveland. So a little bit of surprise there to start. The Nationals win 3 in a row against the Reds, and Bryce Harper hits his first 2 home runs, and they're 3-0 to start the year, and the Reds are where you expect them to be. The Royal Crown already off a little to start. Danny Duffy, after getting a 4-run lead, got absolutely blitzed. Matt Davidson, he's the highlight so far. He had a 3-home run game against the Royals in that game, a game where the White Sox scored 14 of the next 15 runs and won 14-5. And they certainly can hit. They're a young team. They did get rained out. I think they got rained out twice actually already. But they're 2-0. The Royals on their way to 90 plus losses. So, any other highlights that I want to point out to? Don't forget, Lance McCullers also is in the top 4 for the Astros, which tells you a lot about the Astros pitching. Still not crazy about their bullpen, but the Twins did take 2 out of 3, and I expect them to be good. And I expect them to compete for that wild card again. I have them making it. Berrios, they struck out 8 or 9. So he got off to the good start. 7-0, they beat the Orioles. They took 2 of 3 from the Orioles at Camden. They should be good. Right now, they're rotating a couple of guys at short. Escobar and Adrianza are both playing shortstop so far. So that's where you are there. So good start for the Twins. And it's not really a surprise. Dozier hit a home run. Dozier always is good for about 30 home runs. He's a guy who can steal 20 to 25 bases and hit 30 home runs. And he had his first 2 today against Gosba, who was quite overrated. You know what the problem with Gosba is? He doesn't throw that hard, and if he misses location, he can get tattooed. He needs to learn how to pitch and hit his spots. If he could hit his spots, he could be okay for the Orioles. But, you know, behind Dylan Bundy, if that's really your second starter, it's not all that great. You know, I might have underrated the Blue Jays, because even though they're not going to be good, They do still have Donaldson and Smoke in their lineup. Tulowitzki, of course, surgery on both feet. Gee, what a shock there. But you know, if Estrada pitches better than he did last year, Marco Stroman, another guy who can pitch well, Aaron Sanchez is back healthy this year, well, they should have some decent starters. They've got a very good closer to finish out games, so in Osuna. So they probably, I probably should have put them third in the division over the Orioles, even though the Orioles, I like their batting lineup a lot better until Machado probably gets traded. I don't know if they'll trade everybody. I wouldn't predict them to make. I don't think they're going to trade everybody. I don't think they would do that. But Machado, I would expect to get moved. Jones, he's also going to be a free agent in 2019. So, but they have a very good lineup. Chris Davis, I don't know about him batting leadoff though there. So a lot of baseball going on. It's kind of funny that they started baseball so early this year. Started on Thursday with every team playing. Very exciting, of course. I mean, if you're a baseball fan, to have all the teams playing on the first day, it's pretty exciting stuff. It's going to be a fun season. It's going to be a fun year. And the Braves, Collins Braves, too. They won two out of their first three. 15-2 winners on Saturday, Sunday. Did they get rained out or did they play? Oh, they didn't play. Okay, they had the day off, so they actually took the day off for Easter Sunday. So the Braves went 2 out of the first three, so that's a good start for Collins Braves. So a lot of good stuff, a lot of good stuff with the baseball. And, of course, you've got the Yankees opening at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx, weather permitting. Jordan Montgomery, they should get it against Pruitt. So Montgomery will make his first start. He'll open it up the season for the Yankees. The lefty that had a nice year as a rookie. Some other games, Cubs in Cincinnati, Twins at the Pirates. So that already an interleague matchup. I don't like having interleague that early. Lance will make his first start against one of the young pitchers, upcoming pitcher from the Pirates, James Talon. So that could be a good matchup there. But pitchers, a couple of winless teams who are bad, the Royals and the Tigers. God almighty, that's going to probably be ugly. Cards are going to be a good matchup. So that's a new series. Brewers are off to the 3-0 start, so they're off and running so far. The Cards want to bounce back a little bit. And some other matchups. The Red Sox visiting the Marlins. So they start at Tampa. They went 3-4. Now they got the Marlins. That's funny. As the schedule, the Lakers had a good sense of humor. The Mets are taking on the Phillies, a Phillies team that I expect some good things from. So I don't expect them to give up 15 runs every game. I hope Gabe Kapler can do better than he did when he pulled his ace at 68 or 69 pitches. That was kind of ridiculous. But the Phillies and Mets are matching up in Flushing later tonight, actually, with Harvey going against Lively. The Nats and Braves are matching up for against Newcomb. You got the Dodgers and D-backs. That's probably the best matchup. Dodgers D-backs, 2-2 versus 2-1. Rue versus Walker, Mario. Indians Angels is a good match. Also, Clevenger gets his first start against J.C. Ramirez. And a couple of other matchups, Rockies and Padres, Orioles and Astros, White Sox and Blue Jays. So that's pretty much it. So a lot of baseball so far in this half an hour. I wanted to go through it because it's the first weekend. And this is Hard Hits. Derek Felix flying solo right now overnight. 424-675-8226. So we'll switch it up here, switch gears. Talk a little bit about the national title game that's coming up, national championship game, men's Division I game coming up. Actually, before I do, just want to say kudos to Notre Dame women's basketball winning their second ever championship. And great job, by the way, to beat UConn and that just idiot Oriema, who ran up, who always likes running up scores, and then he gets beat on a three-pointer with 1 second left in overtime. And I thought that was a fitting conclusion. and Notre Dame wins their championship game, the women's championship game, on a buzzer beater on a three. Unbelievable. So we got that to talk about. We also have Devils hockey to talk about as well. So maybe we'll do this with Devils first because we got Rob Davis on the air. So Rob is with us. Good evening, Rob.
Good evening. Good evening. How's it going?
Oh, it's going dandy right now. I just did all the baseball already. So you won't have to listen to me go over baseball and the ineptitude of Aaron Boone too much. So that's good.
I honestly haven't watched. I haven't had an opportunity to watch any Yankee games yet, except for the first one
little
bit. But
I haven't watched like a ton. I did see Giancarlo Stanton flexing his muscles with his debut. First pitch, he hits a home run. And then Sterling with the debut call. I don't even know where he got it from. I don't know what's Italian about Giancarlo Stanton. Is he
Italian? Absolutely not. No, he's like African American and Hispanic. He's
so
not Italian.
Why
at home.
Is John Sterling going to the Italian playbook? I mean, he's for the Stantonian home run call. I don't get it.
It was about as awkward as Aaron Boone being a professional manager in Major League Baseball. So
When you just see, you know, Justin smoke a pitch Wolf Kaylee to make it 6-3, and Josh Donaldson's been struggling so far, you know, maybe it's better to not load the bases and put Justin Smoke as the winning run at the plate against David Robertson, despite the buck and the dirty numbers, because smoked one, so that wasn't really
Here's an honest question that I think really should be talked about, right? How short of a leash should Aaron Boone actually have? Should he be given the season, or if they come out of the gate and say after 30 games they lose like 15 of them? Like, what, considering they were a game away from the World Series last year, like, how short of a leash should he have?
I think that, yeah, I mean, if George Steinbrenner is around, sure. If Steinbrenner is around when that happens.
Aaron Boone wouldn't even have his job if Steinbrenner was around. I mean, that's not even, like, something that's debatable, but I don't know. Like, they really struggle much.
I'm sure they'll be okay. They only have to play their home opener in March, kind of weather, as March is still going, apparently, with snow forecast and rain and all sorts of fun stuff for them. Yeah,
6 inches of snow tomorrow.
I bet Yankee fans are all excited to go to opening day with it being 30 degrees, 35 degrees, and snow and everything else. You know what? Let's get to it. I mean, it was an unbelievable win. The Devils get it done again. And Taylor Hartwell continues his run here.
Yes, he
and
did.
Makes his push
yes,
for
did.
MVP.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'll give Hines credit. I mean, once that penalty was taken to get for Montreal to get that 5-on-3 to put Hall in the box, you know, just so he would be the first person out. You know, coming out of there on that breakaway, that was pretty good coaching right there.
What, they take a bench biter?
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, yeah, that is good coaching because he doesn't really kill penalties that much. And
no, he's
putting him in there. He's not going to kill a 5-on-3. I mean, that's going to be probably Brian Boyle or Blake Coleman. Or Grabner, with your best two defensemen, obviously Sammy Vatanen, probably, I think. And even though he's not, I know you're not crazy about him anymore, but Andy Green probably was the other defenseman, I'm thinking. Because you're not going to put, you know, you're not putting Severson out there or John Moore.
No.
You're not going to do that. I mean, not unless they want to lose the game. They want to lose to the Montreal Canadiens.
As much as I don't like Andy Green, no.
it would take that kind of effort to lose to Montreal right now. So, or the New York Islanders. So, but who are better? Islanders seem to be better at tanking than the Rangers are. But we're not talking about tanks. I don't believe in tanks. So,
The Rangers aren't attempting to tank. The Rangers are a prideful bunch. You know, they wear America on their back, and you know, the Statue of Liberty on their golden pads, and you know, they're just going to go out there and they're going to play and take it a shift at a time.
I didn't even realize hockey was still going on, man. I thought maybe it ended on Friday with the Rangers' final home game. A friggin' disaster against the Lightning and the Tampa Blue Shirts, who can't seem to beat anybody except for their former team because the Rangers are terrible. I mean, Tampa's losing everybody. They're going to now draw Toronto in the first round. And gee, they might go down in the first round. Wouldn't that be something? That would be so Rangers of them. So,
Tampa's slump here kind of coincided with Dan just hopping back on the Lightning bandwagon, though. I mean, let's not lose sight of that. So.
You got this magic number here. It's 4. It could go to 2.
Yep.
If Carolina can get it done against the Panthers in regulation. I've said it before, and I say it again. All you had to do was take care of business, and you're gonna be in the playoffs. And they are doing it. They're doing it. Mm-hmm. And they're getting it from Taylor Hall again. And Nico Hischier continues to improve. Continues to improve. I mean, he's overall, his defensive game is really good. Got a big redirect goal.
He's proven to be a very good two-way player. So, you know, I'm very impressed with him.
I mean, he's very impressive. I'm going to end up keeping him in my fantasy league because I really like what I see from him. And I think there's going to be a lot of improvement. It's pretty amazing that they're doing this. And Corey Snyder is basically not part of it. It's just the oddest thing. I've ever seen.
I've said this to a few people, and I really do believe this. I am of the opinion that Corey Snyder is not 100% healed from his groin injury. Groin injuries are really tricky to get healthy from. You know, and Corey, when he came back, I think they put him back too soon, and I think that's part of the reason why Kincaid is playing so many games right now. But, you know, I also give it up to Kincaid. He has the most wins of any goalie since February 13th of this year. So, you know,
that's
I got to give him
crazy.
Some credit there, too. You know?
I mean, you know what? I mean, look, we've seen crazy things happen before. Remember when Scott Clemenson went on that run a few years ago?
Yeah, it happens. He went, like, what did he go, like, 25-5 at one point, you know? Something ridiculous
How does stuff like that actually happen? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. I mean, you know, whether Kincaid can actually keep it up is going to be the big question. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, in a game they probably should have easily dominated and won, they weren't getting that offensive production, and Kincaid played well. You know, he won this game for them, in my opinion. But
that's really something, you know. I mean, I know you call him 3 or more, and he's been giving up 3 goals lately.
Yes, he usually is. When Kincaid is in, the other team usually scores 3 or more goals.
So,
right.
But Kyle Palmieri's been scoring a lot of goals. He's been on a run for a while. That's really helpful.
Yeah, like 16 in his last like 30 or 31 games, something like that.
You know what? I mean, you have to give the guy his due. I mean, he's the king of New Jersey, the king of New York. I mean,
The New Jersey Rocket, you know, is
the New Jersey Rocket, man. You got Kincaid and you've got Palmieri. I mean, what else do you need? By the way, I caught the radio call of Matt Lockwood's call for the whole game winner. And, if you didn't already know that Chico Resch was, like, the color analyst, you sure did after he scored that goal. Oh, man. I mean,
Oh,
he
no.
went absolutely nuts. He was like, he started cheering.
Oh, man.
I thought I was, you know, every time I hear Chico Resch now when the Devils score a big goal, I feel like I'm listening to, like, Dick Lynch when the Giants were able to upset the Packers to get to the Super Bowl.
That's
what it feels like.
Yeah. You know, I sometimes wonder what's worse sometimes, though. Chico Resch or listening to Ken Danico say wow about 1,000 times during a game. He's like, he goes to the Owen Wilson School of Broadcasting. He's like, wow. Like, every 2 minutes.
He does say it a lot. Or he goes like, man. Or something like, when something goes bad, it's like, man.
Yeah. And then it gets even worse when you go to, like, you know, like the ice and shit, and you have Bryce Salvador. It's like, oh, God, it goes from worse to worse to worse.
It's almost like Danico should have been bumped up between the benches because he'd be better at that job, I think.
I completely agree.
Maybe they should have had somebody else do the color play. Like, maybe they could have brought Chico Resch back to the TV screen.
Oh, God.
Because Chico could do it in his sleep. I know he's not doing it every game anymore.
Honestly, they probably couldn't afford him, but, I mean, they should have offered Doc Emrick more money to stay around. It's sad.
It's got to be pretty exciting, you know. I mean, it's been a while since your team's, you know, been in this position. And
5 years. Yeah.
Six, man. I mean, it's pretty crazy.
It's
you know, nobody really expected them to be here, but, you know, when they started the season, I got this vibe about your team. I was like, you know, this team looks like they actually could make the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, and I'll say this right now. As much of a fan as I wasn't of this trade during the time, I don't feel they would be in this position if they didn't make that Henrique for Vatanen trade.
Oh, they had to make that trade.
Yeah. They wouldn't be where they are right now.
That was the problem last year. The problem last year is we saw the reverse effect of the Taylor Hall trade because Larson helped the Oilers a lot last year, even though he doesn't put up any points.
Yeah.
But he plays a lot of minutes. And the Oilers were good last year, and they were really close to making the conference final before they lost to Nashville. But then, the reverse, the thing that me and Brian expected to happened this year. And Taylor Hall became a superstar, and he bought in. And I don't think Taylor Hall bought in the first year, but I also think there wasn't a lot of support last year. This is a different team than the one that they had last
year. Very
much
so.
Go ahead. You're the Dallas fan.
All right. No, I was going to say, like, I don't think Taylor Hall would have so much bought in if not for the offseason talk that he had with Hines and Ray Ciro during the offseason to kind of get him to, like, hey, you know, where's your head at? Where are we going? Where do you want to go in regards to being here or not being here? Because I really do believe the rumors that, you know, if Taylor Hall didn't buy in, Taylor Hall would not be a Devil right now either. You know, I think they could have moved him again.
Which is pretty crazy to think because, you know, you bring a guy like that in, you're not bringing him in for 1 year. You're bringing him in because you want to change your franchise.
But you want to change, not being ready to commit to that.
I mean, look, last year was as bad as it got for them.
Yeah.
It was bad, but something really good happened for the Devils. They won the lottery, which I expected, of course. I think I was the only one who expected it. And Nico Lisha, they get Nico. Because, as you know, Devils fans think everything's against them. So, but wait a second. Well, that's Brian David, actually. And Brian David might have a point.
Stop. Yes, the NHL is rigged for the New Jersey Devils. Come on.
Hey,
come on.
The NHL didn't take away those three Stanley Cups, man. I mean, they're not taking anything away from you.
Oh, come on.
Oh, that's right. They decided to change the rules to take away Brodeur's, like, biggest skull, like, where he come out of the corner. Because
that's right. And they screwed him in the 2011-12 Stanley Cup Finals. So, I mean, there's that as well. But I digress.
I mean, it's no worse of a screw job than what happened to us the following year. Now, 2 years later, the Kings with the goaltender interference.
The league needed LA to win. You know, they needed
this
celebrity appeal.
Our series were very similar. I don't know. I mean, they were close games. It was very similar. I don't really know what to say. But hockey season's over for me, and it's nice to be retired from hockey for a while. You know?
No, it's not over yet. There's still games left to be played. Still games left. Yeah, of course.
Who's playing still? I mean, I have no idea.
You can't have the Devils make the playoffs on the expense of the Rangers. Come on, that's your Stanley Cup this year.
I don't believe in Stanley Cups. I mean, we never get to win Stanley Cups. So, we had some teams that were close, but you know, when you lose to the Lightning in games 5 and 7, it gets shut out on your own home ice, man, and it turns into a ghost town. How could I believe in Stanley Cups when we got one Stanley Cup since 1940? So, I mean, it's just not to be believed right now. You know, it's not something I believe in. So, hey, I'm being real. That's what it's all about.
I don't know.
I mean, how was your Easter? Did you have a nice Easter?
I did. I had a very good Easter with my family. Good times. Good food. Good conversation. Yeah. You know. And in the plus side of it, March is finally over after 4,075 days of the month of March. You know.
I hate to say it, but the bad news is I was looking at the radar screen yesterday and I saw all this rain and snow coming just flying out of the
screen. Yeah, it's supposed to snow today and then on Saturday as well. It's supposed to snow.
Oh, and not only that, we've got snow, and then it's going to pour on Tuesday, and it's just going to be heavy rain, and then the temperature's going to go up to 67, and then the temperature's going to go down again. I mean,
over the weekend it's supposed to dip back down into like the high to low 30s. It's ridiculous.
You know what? March may have ended like on the calendar, but it didn't end when it came to the weather in the New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania area.
It's sticking around. They've actually extended the month of March now. There's another 43 days to go.
It's pretty obvious. It is fairly obvious that March is still going on right now. March is still going on. As much as Brian David pretends that he can't be part of shows because it's fine when he can go to make a guest appearance in Las Vegas with Stackmasters in Vegas and wind up in San Diego. Brian David, a very odd character indeed, here on this Sunday night/Monday morning edition of Hard Hits. It is Derek Felix and Rob Davis right now as we talk Devils hockey. Here's the question. So, will Taylor Hart actually make the final three for this award, for this Hart Trophy? That's the question I have.
I think he makes the final three. I don't think he wins it, though.
Yeah. I think it's hard not to put him in there right now. I mean, this push by him.
I think he'll win what's that award they give for the player vote?
The Pearson?
Yeah, I think he'll win that. I don't see him winning the Hart Trophy, though.
Yeah, that's funny. I heard somebody talking about that award the other day, right? And they're like, everybody wants to win the Hart Trophy. Nobody cares about winning the Players' Trophy, but I'm thinking to myself, isn't it cooler to get the trophy elected by the players than a bunch of
loser writers
a bunch of loser writers who probably never played the game, and are biased, like Darren Drager, who thinks Connor McDavid should win the Hart Trophy because he's on a tear when his fucking team sucks. I mean, give me a break. I mean, I'd rather win.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to give it to McDavid, though. I mean, he's a beast. The guy's an amazing, amazing player.
I'm not saying that he isn't. Right. I just, like, if I see Connor McDavid's name in the top five vote-getters for this award, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose, like, the trust in the writers that cover the sport because he's not valuable at all this year. I mean, not when you have Anthony Kopitar doing what he's doing with the Kings, and Kopitar has not been talked about, and he's got over 90 points.
No.
Not when McKinnon's doing what he's doing with the Avalanche, not when Taylor Hall's doing what he's doing with the Devils, not when you have Kucherov and Malkin, not even when Brad Marchand puts up the points that he puts up. I mean, there is no value. There is no value in Connor McDavid this year, other than the fact that the Oilers would be, instead of a 74-point team, they'd be a 44-point team, okay? All right?
Yeah,
that's where I stand on that. So I'm just not feeling it right now. I am not feeling it. And it's just, I don't know. I mean, there are too many players that are on better teams that are having big years that deserve to be voted for on this award. So that's where I stand. We have another caller. Oh, this is just perfect. You know, you talk about Stanley Cups and, you know, the lack of Stanley Cups in New York, and nobody would know that better than by blood relation, my brother, JNF, is on the line with us, Justin Felix.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on?
You're up.
Not much. I am. I am.
Hey,
up.
You attended. That's right. You attended the final frantic game, home game on Friday. Was that fun?
Say it again?
You attended the final frantic home game on Friday.
Yeah. Not gonna die.
You know what? I should take it back, though, because, like, you know, when it comes to, like, the speech that his son Connor made,
yeah.
I'm talking about Stephen McDonald, that speech was awesome. And, like, the presentation, even though we both agreed that Lundqvist didn't deserve to win the award, I would have given it to either. I would have given it to
Hayes. I'd rather see Lundqvist than Zuccarello. I don't think Zuccarello deserves it either.
I mean, it's a fan-voted award, and fans just aren't as knowledgeable as they were before.
Unfortunately.
But, I mean, you want to put Lundqvist as your team MVP, go ahead and put him as team MVP.
I think Kevin Hayes is MVP this year.
Yeah, but you knew, I think we both knew that he was going to win the award because that's – yeah, but now, yeah, it's kind of ironic too, Rob, because the first Lundqvist won the award as a rookie, right? Clean shaven.
Yeah.
He looked like a kid, right? He looked like a kid. How old was he? He was 24. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And he went to the award this time. He's fully bearded. He looks older than me. I mean, and he's really aged. I mean, yeah, it is. Look, it is. You know, a lot of time's gone by. It's 13 years. You know, and it's true. But God, if you put a capsule, you know, if you put a capsule, and then look at the two pictures. If you put the picture of Lundqvist the first time he won the award, and the picture of him winning the award this time, you wouldn't even think they were the same person. It's crazy. I don't know.
No. But
and
he's, you know, he's had a great career though. So I mean, you can't really, you know, say much bad about him. But, you know,
well, no,
he's been elite for a long time.
I don't think he deserves it. But
I mean, I think in a way, Justin, it puts a bow on what was the Rangers, you know, run the Rangers, whatever you want to call it, with them making the playoffs all these times, except for 2010. And every game that they played meant something because even 2010, they went to game 82.
Even 2010, it wasn't the last day. It was a shootout.
So. They, yeah, with that stupid choice by Tortorella. The worst coaching decision Tortorella ever made was choosing Yoeli Jokinen to take that spot.
I don't think Gabbert wanted to shoot himself. That's the thing.
I couldn't
remember that whole
thing
with Gabbert.
Oh, that's right. I do remember that as well. I mean, but Yoeli Jokinen taking that shot was just awful, Rob. I'm sure that there were a lot of Devil fans that celebrated that elimination. That must have been near and dear.
No comment.
That's
no
near
comment.
And dear
as I did not,
on Tuesday.
I will neither confirm nor deny whether I celebrated at that juncture in time.
I can say something, Rob. It stands to reason that they did. What?
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 What? You know what?
The reason.
Between the speech and that video tribute that they did to McDonough, JT, and Dan Girardi, my hands were shaking. I mean, that got to me, watching that. I mean, I didn't think they were going to actually do the video thing before the game. And
yeah,
I just thought that was so cool.
They didn't do it last time when Callahan came in. With Strowman
yeah.
and Boyle.
Yeah,
just,
I know,
like, said,
but...
Thanks for the memories.
Yeah, thanks for the
memories.
Like they weren't part of anything.
Thank you, Callahan, for breaking bones for our organization. Thank you.
Yeah, Brian Boyle for taking punishment against Ottawa, for making that unbelievable forecheck and pass to Dominic Moore to get us to our only Stanley Cup final. Otherwise, we'd still not be in a Stanley Cup final.
Yeah,
so.
And they would have got swept that year, too, was it Strowman? Because he saved that puck in the crease.
Yeah.
Stanley would have tied the game three also. So. Game four, I mean.
Yeah, that's true.
They probably
won
in overtime also.
That's true. Yeah, I know. I mean, you know what? It was nice. I mean, then they got blitzed by the Tampa
Blue Jerks. Out of all of them, I'm glad Dan Girardi got his video tribute too. So.
Yes. Yeah, me too. Oh, he absolutely did. That's what we have to go by now, Rob. This is what it's come to for the New York Ranger fan. We're living in the past. Something that
we
man knows very well. We are. We're now living in the past. I'm kidding. There are Ranger fans that do, and the Rangers organization likes to live in the past. But it's okay. It's okay to embrace 2018, to embrace Filippito and Elias Anderson and Neil Pionk as three building blocks going forward, because 2018-19 may not be a playoff year for the New York Rangers, but it will be the wave of the future. That's what I'm calling 18-19. The wave.
Like Lisa
of
Simpson
the
once said, "Wave of the future."
Now I've heard that expression a few times.
Yeah,
I think that applied to Dipping Dots too. The wave of the future. But I don't know. I mean, I still can't get over John Sterling's call for Giancarlo Stanton. A little
what
bit
did you
lost.
Say? I actually didn't hear it.
You know what? I don't know if you want to hear it. I mean,
I do want to hear it.
He uses an expression that's Italian.
Oh yeah, I heard about that. But he's like Spanish or something.
He's black and Hispanic.
He's from California, for crying out loud, man. I mean,
I always like to play off on the names, you know? So, it's nothing personal.
I don't think it would be very... It's very hard to come up with something for Giancarlo.
What did he say? Could Rob do it for me? I want to hear Rob's voice.
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that.
Okay. Here it is. Here it is. It is far. It is gone. Giancarlo! Nancy Paul Stoporio.
What?
With a Stantonian blast. I do
what?
Not know what I just said, but it
what
is very
calling?
Giancarlo Nancy Paul Stoporio.
I don't know what that means.
Why didn't he come up with a Spanish expression?
Well, yeah, he didn't have one like Bobby Abreu. Oh, come on, don't they?
You know what? I don't know. What I do know is that Brian David visited JPG, and Brian David won his parlay, and the national championship game is tonight, and it's going to be Villanova and against Michigan. And I know Rob Davis is all over the Wolverines, his favorite. All of a sudden, his favorite NCAA basketball team.
I will not watch a single solitary second of that game. I'm just putting like $300 down on Michigan, and I will collect my money when it's over.
if you somebody on that neck, you should be damn near while we watching that.
Nope, I'm not watching a single second of that game. I'm just putting money down on Michigan. I will go cha-ching when that game is over.
How much money can you win if Michigan wins?
I don't know. I'm going to look at that today, and then I'm going to decide how much money I'm going to put down. I wake up this later this morning before I go to work, I will be doing that.
He's so excited for this game. He's going to put money down. He's not going to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to let the money roll in.
That's it. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Everybody's got a price, you know?
What is your price to watch?
I have no price to watch this game. I have zero interest in it. I just know Michigan's going to win, and that's that. I have it on good authority.
I know your price to watch. You want to hear?
What's that? Yeah.
A big sexy poster from 1998, Wolfpack style.
I actually have one of Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and Sick. Yeah. Yeah, I got it signed at a convention by Scott Hall and Six.
Oh, what was the convention, Monroe?
What's that?
How long ago was this?
I'd gotten the poster signed. I got the poster early 98, and I got it signed in 2002.
Oh, okay, cool. Never mind.
Yeah.
I was probably at that convention, probably. Who knows?
I don't know.
Well,
I have it somewhere. I have something wrapped up somewhere. It's probably freaking ripped by now and everything. But
I'm gonna throw in a red Wolfpack shirt. Remember that ugly shirt that they used to wear?
Oh my god!
With the wolf on it. With the wolf on
what?
It. Yeah,
I think
remember.
So.
Yeah, it was red.
Mm-hmm. They also had the tie dye NWO shirts.
I think there were so many different variations of the NWO that I lost count.
I like the black and white.
Remember the BWO? They were supposed to, not the Blue World Order. They were thinking about
the
doing
Blue
the Black
World
Order. Remember? We never made
and there was the L. There was the
LWO.
LWO, the Latino World Order. yeah.
Remember the Jobber World Order? JWO.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, we had baseball, man. We do have baseball back. And already there are Yankee fans calling in about Aaron Boone's job.
As they should. Aaron Boone should be fired immediately. Get him out of there. Get him the fuck out of there. It's only 4 games. He's losing. Get him out of there.
You sound like Jerome now. I haven't heard from Jerome. I think Jerome's dead, actually.
Oh,
this just is.
I haven't heard from Jerome since 2010 or 2012.
He's a bum. Get him out of there. Should
have
been fired.
Jerome wasn't that far off from.
Jerome, you know what? I miss Jerome, man. I mean,
he's no less crazy. He may sound crazier, but he's no less crazy than some of these other idiots are doing.
I'm going to call in WFAN tomorrow and do that. Oh, pay attention.
Why?
Because I will be doing that.
What time?
I don't know yet. It's going to be random when the mood strikes me, probably while I'm working on my lunch break. I'll be doing that. Depends what time they want to give me my lunch break. Probably sometime between 1 and 3.
Oh, so you're going to call on... Wait, you might call on the end of Ben Engel's show?
I just might.
Oh, wait a second. If you call in, though, I mean, don't forget, the Yankees are playing their home opener at 1 o'clock, so they're not going to be on the radio.
I just thought about it for a second.
Shit.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. Well,
they're playing 1 p.m. today, and they're supposed to play 1 p.m. on Tuesday if they don't get rained out.
Mm.
The rain, it's supposed to be a lot of rain. They're probably going to get rained out on Tuesday. They're going to have to
lose. Well, then I won't
play. Like 96.
Hey, I went to that game. I went to the Stowe game, actually, against
you
the
did.
Royals. Wow. We sat in right field, upper deck, and it was freezing. And we froze our balls off. And they won. They won the game, obviously, because the Royals were terrible, and the Yankees were great. And it was the start of a special season. And I'm talking about 96, of course. And I wound up going to Dwight Gooden's no-hitter for free. Because what happened was, for the fans that actually attended that game, the snow game, the Yankees gave you a free game. And
could you imagine something like that now? No.
Can you imagine that happening? And when we looked at the choices, it was like, we got to go to the Mariners game. Yeah, to see Ken Griffey Jr., see Edgar. And Ken Griffey was the main star, and this was A-Rod's like first full year when he had that amazing year, his first full year. So, and it turned into a no hitter game. We went to we saw a no hitter at the stadium by Dwight Gooden, and that was pretty incredible because first off, Bernie Williams didn't start the game in center field; it was Gerald Williams, and Gerald Williams
was
actually better. Yeah, if Gerald Williams wasn't in center field, there wouldn't have been a no-hitter because A-Rod absolutely smoked the ball in, like, the first or second. It was, like, the second inning. And Gerald Williams made an unbelievable catch. I don't think Bernie could have
over the head.
That. Yeah, over the head. He made it.
He
practiced.
He really had to run for it, though.
He really had to run for it, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he really had to track it. And he tracked it. And then Gooden settled down. And lo and behold, he had this no-hitter going. And he got himself in trouble in the ninth inning. He walked about five or six guys, Rob. And he got it. He still got it done. And
I remember the scene in Martinez where he dove the first base, keep the no-hitter intact.
Yeah. There was
There was a lot of close plays.
That was a great game. That was a really great game.
You know, it was a 4-0 game.
Yeah, I mean, I love Gerald. I found it, actually. They got it here. Gerald Williams, great catch. Is that Dave Cullen? It is. Double play. God, that was a great play. You know, I'm going to link it up in the chat, Rob, because I found it's actually on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. It should be.
Well, sometimes they don't have like videos going back that far.
Yeah, but I they've been linking, they've been showing, uploading more and more like old clips from those years, you know, by any MLB station, whatever, MLB channel.
Of course, right in the middle of the play was Derek Jeter, a rookie back then, in his rookie of the year season, making the relay. God Almighty! I mean, he just like he runs right about maybe 8 feet. He puts his glove up. And the ball lands right in there.
You're talking about the Gerald Williams catch.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It was an amazing catch. Let's be honest. That was miraculous. As we lose Rob Davis. But we are in overtime anyway. You know what? Yeah, I know, right? I still can't believe I actually went to that game. You know, I actually went to that game. Because, and for free, I mean, do you remember the other detail about this game? It was a promotion game, actually.
What?
Do you remember the other detail from this game?
The other detail?
Yeah, there was one detail from this game. It was a promotion. It was Yankee Sock Night.
Oh, gosh.
So, when the game ended, we all tossed our socks onto the field. Yeah, I'll never forget. That was great.
And we sat behind the plate, of course. And it was just so, it was so much fun. It was just really exciting to see. So it's still, you asked Derek Felix, where do you rank the games that you've been to? I mean, I was foolish. I never went to any October games. You did. You were smart. You went.
Oh yeah, I went to one.
Did they win?
2005.
Nice.
I didn't really get to go.
Yeah, I should have though. I came back home from, was in college the last couple of years. Why didn't I?
I know.
But like, I don't know why. But like, that game, if I had to rank them, I have to put that game first. I just have to.
Huh?
I have to put that game first because it was no better. If I was being sentimental, well, I think and I know he wasn't a good guy off the field and he's in jail because he was stupid, but the Memorial Day game with Mel Hall where he won the game in 91, Memorial Day, I'd have to put that in there.
Against the Tigers?
That was great. It was against the Red Sox, just.
Oh, yeah. It was one against the Tigers, though, Ben. It was a 10-8 game against the Tigers, though, when they came back.
I'm trying to remember
that. We don't want
yeah.
to.
Yeah. Joseph
Pano and Matt Furman, I think?
I think so. I think I know. There was another game.
It was like in 91, I think, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That same year, it was either 96 or 95. A guy by the name of Daryl Strawberry had hit 3 home runs against the White Sox. And I was at that game.
1996, yeah.
That was in 96 as well. Yep. I was at that game. Yeah, that was, yeah, I mean, we went to some great games. I've been to some pretty good games. So, I mean, I guess I'm pretty lucky. I mean, when I think about it, I still have that Jeter autograph card, you know, from when they used to have
where
that
is it?
Downstairs.
Oh, okay.
Downstairs in one of my shoeboxes. I don't know. You know what? It's not about what it's worth. Something like that's priceless. You know, it's not. I mean, it's worth whatever it's worth. Probably worth about $60, $70, $60.
That's it.
But yeah.
Even from the rookie season.
He ordered. It wasn't his rookie card. It was like his second year or third year card. 94.
I know.
Moment. But it's out of foil, and the autograph is really nice. It's really nice autograph. It's like in black or dark blue, kind of. It's just really nice. It's really nice. And I mean, sometimes I wish I had been to more baseball games. I don't know.
What?
I mean, sometimes I wish I had been to more ball games.
Why
not? Yeah. If we didn't live so far away on the other side of the world, I'd probably go to games. I'd probably go to more games. It's just, I'd probably get out the games. It's just, it's hard. It's a slap. You know, when you're younger, it's a lot easier to do things. You just go and you do it. And you don't care about taking the ferry or taking the train or how long it's going to take to get back. When you get older, like, you start thinking about all that stuff. I can't really tell you why. It just happens for some reason.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I don't really know why. I guess growing up kind of sucks, you know?
It does
kind of suck. But, I mean, when I think about, you know, most of my sports memories, well, especially baseball, are from my childhood. From our childhood. Hockey, it's a little different. You know, I've been going to the games for, what, 20 years, 21 years?
Yes.
Well, there was 1 year. Yeah, the lockout. You've been going a little longer. You've got to have more games than me.
Yeah.
And
it's 94.
Yeah. And if you had to rank games, Well, gee, what game would you put first on the rankings for the Rangers?
What game would I put first? I don't know. I really don't know.
It's pretty easy for me.
Why?
The game against the Canadiens.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'd put that up. That's got to be first. I mean, I never thought they would actually. I mean, being at the one Stanley Cup game, even though they get shut out, they played terrible in that game.
Here,
I mean, you know,
it wasn't as like yeah. now, which should have been.
I think
it was Garner for them.
Yeah, by that point, it's different.
I mean, the game against the Devils in 2006, but near Dutch Bowl, coming back to game three was even louder.
That crowd was great. The crowd was great in both those games, and they got swept. And Jed Orbar scored like one of their maybe – what did they score in the series? Two goals?
I thought Steve scored the goal.
Huh?
I thought Steve Richards scored that goal.
I might have to double-check on that. Maybe we could find out. But, I mean, I just think maybe because it was the first year back, and that was when the Garden was the Garden. Yeah, that's part of it.
Exactly.
You were at the Game 7 against the Caps, weren't you? You went with Dad and Mike. Game
Which
7
one?
Against the Caps. Second round. Comeback. You went to it.
You're talking about 2015, right? Yeah, I was out there.
How great was that in your book?
It was good.
Pretty crazy to see a series clincher like that, overtime.
Yeah, I guess.
What were your thoughts going into the overtime? Did you think they were going to do it? Did you think they'd win?
What?
Did you think they would win? You didn't.
Especially when
they're
sitting in the crease.
Oh, my God.
Like, just put us out of our misery already, you know?
I know what exactly what you're talking about. You know, you just don't know. You just don't know what's going to happen. I mean, it's just, it could be like that. It's pandemonium. I mean, for me, game five would be number two with Kreider tying the series. What I say to you, what are the words? They need a miracle. I think that's what I said to you.
Yeah.
And they got the miracle. Cool. Unbelievable.
They give
up
a
pack. Yeah. But it was a great play.
It was.
I mean, And then they wound up winning the game on the drop pass by Stepan.
McDonough.
Yeah. Fast made that whole play. He made that great play to keep that play alive. But, I mean, we've been to jersey retirements. There have been some great ones. You know, the Messier one, obviously, sticks out. Actually, they're all special.
I'm just saying
that was the best one. The Richter one.
So who
they played? When they lose to the Wild?
Minnesota
the Wild, right? They did.
February 5th,
but they put up. Yeah. I think Jagr scored, too.
What was it? 5-2? 6-2?
The Wild scored like 5 or 6 goals.
Yeah.
The Messier one was against the Oilers. That I remember. Leech one. We've been to a lot of ones, Graves. I mean, they're all.
Jagr scored in the Messier one right away.
He did. Yeah, he did. I mean, they're all fun. Roosevelt's overtime winner in that first real run, you know, sweeping the Thrashers and winning that game three. Buffalo was awesome. That's pretty cool. The referees basically had screwed them already. I mean, the game should have been over in regulation, and they had to go to over. What they got? What was it? Two overtimes? It was two, I think, right?
Yeah.
Not three, but unbelievable. It was a great moment. They should have won that series, even though the Sabres were better.
We know the Sabres were better. But...
I mean, when Straka scored that goal, I mean, I got so excited when he scored that goal.
What?
When Straka scored to put them up 1-0.
I know.
I mean, I know. It's rough to talk about, but I mean, what can you do? There are ups and downs. There are ups and downs when you're a sports fan. You're going to experience both. So that's the whole thing. So I think you were right, actually. I just checked. Ortmeier did score. I think Ortmeier did score the goal at home. Ruchin did score a goal also. Ruchin has a goal.
He scored the first goal.
Series.
Is it being shut out?
So, yeah, Blair Betts had 2 points. He had the most points.
So he scored like 3 goals in that series, right?
Yeah. Peter Pruka, Ortmeier, Betts, and Ruchin were the goal scorers in the series. And what I remember is that Peter Sikora had a lot of chances to score in the series and just
couldn't. He's the
puzzle. Yeah.
Not a reason that I respond, though.
He had some bad luck. Yeah, that's right. I do remember that. And, of course, Yago
went
down.
Remember Elliott was going to sign here?
Yeah, I do.
That would have changed everything.
I can't believe how close that really came to happening.
What
it is really.
Is. Oh, we can't have no trade clauses. Whatever.
Huh? No problem. Handing them out.
They handed
now,
out to like these other idiots to like can't handle give them Peter Patrick. I don't get it.
You know what? It would have been weird. I'll tell you, it would have been weird. It would have been interesting. I'll tell
you
that.
You want that extra year too? Want that like a fourth year or something, right?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely would have been weird. I can't believe. Yeah, I know. Wound up giving the contract to the wrong guy. He gave the contract to Holík, the whole week
yeah,
contract.
Of course he did.
Which, yeah, but that
like,
was
like the Patrick Ellis is a better player than Holík in his sleep, you know?
That was a totally different NHL. Everything was just so.
Yeah, I know that. I'm just saying.
Out of sync.
He could have done whatever
like,
he wanted. But.
Yeah, everything was just so messed up. With, you know, and just the whole perception of, you know, giving a guy like that kind of money and he's always going to be a devil in everybody's mind, even though I see his second season was actually a good season. He put up 25 goals and 56 points. But, you know, he was too much of a big mouth and they had to do what they had to do. And it was the best thing for them to do moving forward was cut ties. And we do.
Right.
That I'll give Sabre credit for, even though the lot we will say that the lockout helped. Obviously helped push that whole thing. But he did make some smart moves there. Surrounding Yager with the players, Nylander, Straka, Luchinsky, Puka, obviously getting
the writing was on the wall once they went on that losing streak.
Oh. How many games did they lose in a row? Remember?
Six.
Seven?
I think it was five or six in a row.
It was.
And 10 this season.
They had all those chances, right? All those chances to maybe clinch the
get
division.
Get first place.
So what, they wound up third?
Yeah.
The Devils and Flyers both passed them, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, on the last day.
Yeah.
And the Devils, here's the thing. The Devils were down 3-0 to Montreal that last thing. Devils came
out. Yeah, Lagerbruder scored the go-ahead call, I think, or Gianta. It was even one was it? Gianta? Yeah. That was the year he scored the 48 goals, right?
Yeah, otherwise we would have had all nine.
Yeah, I think I don't even know if it would have mattered, but it would have helped.
It would have mattered, but it would have been different a little bit.
It would have been more interesting, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole crazy thing about it is Ryan Gianta never came close to scoring that many goals or that many points again.
I know.
That was just one of those seasons for him, you know? And sometimes that happens. Like, William Karlsson, right, the ex-Blue Jacket, has 42 goals right now. And he scored this highlight reel goal. I don't know if you saw it. He scored a shorthanded goal against the Sharks the other night. He put the puck between his legs, Barik Malik style. Also.
Uh-huh.
On a breakaway. On a shorthanded breakaway. And you know what makes the goal better? Is that, like, Martin Jones went for the poke check. So you had Jones, like, reaching out for the poke check, and he pulls off the between-the-legs shot. Pretty awesome. William Carlson, right, entered this year, Dustin, with 9 goals as his best output in his career. 9 goals. And his most points were 25 last year with the Blue Jackets in a secondary third/fourth-line role. He's got 42 goals and 75 points, and is plus 46 this year. Do you think he could ever approach those numbers again? Probably not. William Carlson has 75 points this year and is plus 46. Do you think he'll ever approach that again?
No.
Probably not. Only a couple minutes left. Villanova is going to take on Michigan tonight. I think it will be a good game, but I think the question is, can Villanova be stopped? I mean, they did whatever they wanted against Kansas, and I'm not saying Kansas is a great defensive team, but you know, Villanova had 13 threes at half. They wound up with 18 threes. It's a tournament record. They have the player of the year in Jalen Brunson, who I'm hoping the Knicks will get maybe in the second round. That would be a good pick because he's not going to go that high. But he's like one of those guys he knows how to play the game. He can post up. He's a smart point guard. He can score. He can rebound the ball and distribute it. Villanova is very good, Justin. I got Spellman, who plays bigger than his size, can make the three. He always gets double doubles, plays bigger than his size. You got Boof. You got Bridges, who has not had a good tournament. Bridges is supposed to go in the top 10. Mikal Bridges. Paschal had the big game, 24. DaVincio comes off the bench. Obviously, Michigan has to slow them down. Otherwise, they can't win. Bayline's a good coach, though. It's an old Big East matchup, so I would expect it to be a close game. I think it's hard to pick against Villanova. I don't know. I mean, I know you're not going to watch. That I know.
Why?
Championship game. Men's?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think tip offs until like maybe 9. I don't know. They start this game. It's a good thing I have a break. But you know, because I sub teach. But it's always fun to watch. Hopefully, Michigan can give them a good game. You know, I set that a higher scoring game, Justin, would favor Kansas, and Villanova scored 95 points. I mean, they won the game easy. And Michigan, of course, beat Loyola Chicago, the great story, the Cinderella story. Loyola Chicago led for a lot, but Michigan's athleticism took over. They can spread you out. They could shoot three. They can drive the ball. So, I mean, and they play good defense. So they can give Villanova a game. It's just whether or not I really believe that Villanova is going to lose. I don't know. They look like the best team. But yeah, we'll see tonight. We'll see what happens. Hopefully it will be a great game. And you've got your Yankee home opener, Justin, in the wet snow or rain or whatever it is, because we're actually going to have that. That's going to do it for this show. Yeah, we'll do one tomorrow, too. Thanks for coming on, Dust. It was fun talking about some of those Rangers memories. That was a lot of fun, actually, talking about our favorite Rangers stuff. When you think about how far back we go, and I mean, for us, you know, we didn't really have any of those postseason moments. I mean, we were on mini plans in 96 or 97 or whatever it was when they were making that run. So, you know, we didn't really get to see the playoffs until all 6 when they got swept by the Devils. And it's been a great run. That's how I will say it. It has been and fun. And I think it was nice that, you know, they said their thank you to Dan Girardi. They said their thank you to Ryan McDonough. They said their thank you to JT. And I thought that was much better than what they've done for the Rangers that we love. Like, and Justin said it. He made exactly the point, you know, where They don't do much of an acknowledgement for Ryan Callahan. They didn't do a video for him, and I thought that was ridiculous. And they didn't do one for Brian Boyle, and they didn't do one for Strawman. Boyle and Callahan deserve videos. Strawman was only there for a couple of years, but still. I mean, I think that they totally should have. You know, they should have. You know, the acknowledgement's the important thing, but I think when it comes to getting it right, you got to step on. And I think they did a video for him because he deserved one. They did a video for him. And of course, it's the highlights of him dropping the puck to the gun and him getting the winner against the Caps. Certain guys deserve videos. Ryan Callahan was one of those guys. And Brian Boyle was a meat and potatoes player. I understand he hasn't scored a goal in a long time for the Devils. But what he's been able to do this year, if you don't think that he's part of what's right, you don't think he's part of that success and why they are where they are, what he does for that locker room, and just how hard he plays on the penalty kill and how hard the effort that he gives, you're wrong. I mean, Ray Sherrill deserves a lot of credit. He deserves a ton of credit for some of the moves that he made. And Brian Boyle scoring, having as many goals as he did, he had 12 goals going, and he actually became the all-star because Hall was injured. And he was their one representative back in Tampa. And this guy, I don't know, it seems like the playoffs follow him around. They do follow him around. I mean, he wants to get him traded to the Maple Leafs. The Maple Leafs running him last year from Tampa Bay. He puts up 2 assists in a real competitive series against the Caps, and in a series where Boyle actually made a couple of nice setups. Matt Martin and Kapanen in one of their wins. He just knows how to play. The playoffs follow this guy around. He's going to be in the playoffs again when the Devils finally get in. And you know, this guy just knows how to play the game. The Tortorella, that was one of the best things that he did. Brian Boyle and Brandon Prust. Well, Prust, I know Prust has been gone for a while, but they owe their careers to Tort. When people say Tort can't coach certain players, in some cases that's true. But you could say that for any coach, especially when you look at how Link Daniels handled certain players, BC, Buchnevich, etc. You think about how the Devils have handled some of the moves that they made, some of the additions, and you're going to get Marcus Johansson back, hopefully. He's been out with that cusp for so long. It's really sad, but I mean, surrounding the team, getting, you know, trading for Sammy Vatanen, a trade that's been great for both the Ducks and the Devils as they both battle to get in the playoffs. It's going to be a little closer for the Ducks than it'll be for the Devils. You know, they've separated themselves from Florida, so just a matter of time, especially with only, that's Florida, 5 games left. I think the Devils have about, what, they got 4 to play, or 5, whatever they have to play. But, you know, you make these moves. And I know Grabner, same thing with Grabner, even though he has not really done anything for the Devils. You make these moves because they're going to make you a better team. And that's what it's about. That's what it became about for the Devils. So they're a better team. I think Hines doesn't do everything right, but, you know, put that checking line where he has Blake Coleman, Stefan Nason, and Boyle together has been terrific. Well, Zajac does play a little bit out of position. And I would be playing Jesper Bratt more. I would play him more. I know that he went into the big slump, but he should play. He should play all for Drew Stafford. I mean, for sure. I mean, really, what's the point? He may as well see if he can get his confidence back. So, because he's got that speed and skill. So, but real good job out of everybody. Thanks to Rob for calling in. And thanks to Justin. And a lot more baseball going on. Exciting national championship game, we hope. And a lot of fun stuff going on. So, that's going to do it for this show. I want to thank everybody for checking in, and for Justin and for Robert. This is Derek Felix signing off of Hard Hits. So we'll see you all next time.
Have a good night, everybody. Good night.